Aloha! You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 231. This podcast is brought to you by Don the Beachcomber. Enjoy classic dining and cocktails in a tropical exotic setting. Now open in beautiful Madeira Beach, Florida. Can't get to Florida? Get a piece of Don the Beachcomber from the comfort of your own home. Visit shop.donbeachcomber.com to see brand new merch like collectible tiki mugs, postcards, magnets, stickers, t-shirts, hats, and more. That's shop.donbeachcomber.com. This podcast is sponsored by Frogtown Brewery, an independent craft brewery and tap room located in Northeast Los Angeles along the LA River. Tell them the Desert Oasis Room sent you and get your first pint on us. Limitations apply. For more information, go to frogtownbrewery.com and follow them on social media at Frogtown Brewery. Today we chat with Nick Petty, also known as Echo Island Tiki. We talk about building home tiki bars, our favorite defunct watering holes, thrifting vintage glassware and barware, his approach to cocktails, and much, much more. As always, I hope you enjoy this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you'd like to follow our adventures, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/PolynesianPop, where we chronicle events, bars, travel spots, cocktail tutorials, and more. And if you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/PolynesianPop, where membership grants you early access to podcasts and videos, front-of-the-line privileges to new merch releases, as well as exclusive content, meetups, and screen credits. Alrighty, let's get into this. Grab yourself a cocktail and join us inside Echo Island Tiki Room. And give it up for my friend, Nick Petty. Do this.
Cool. Do you want to start with a drink while we
I would love talk? That.
What do you want to order off the menu, or we can just do like some
rain tings? I keep forgetting that you have a menu here.
Yeah.
Okay. I love this. This is a fancy menu too. So this is like a real restaurant style menu.
Yeah,
like
big
that has the fold. The wax paper so that it's water resistant.
Yeah.
So here's what I love about your menu. There's a lot of classics on here.
Mm-hmm.
You can make any of these?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I try to keep this stuff on hand to make at least most of them.
Well, I like the Saturn.
Yeah, you want to do a Saturn?
Can make that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, dude. Sure. I love it.
And it's okay if I'm like kind of loud here?
Yeah.
All right.
Because people like hearing that stuff. You know, what's funny is when I record and we already have a drink in hand or we're not making drinks.
Mm-hmm.
People actually say, so what was going on? How come you guys weren't making drinks?
Oh, yeah.
they want to hear the mixer. They want to hear the shaker. Right. They want to hear all the noises of the tin and, you know, and the jigger and all that stuff. So, yeah, because that's part of the personality of the show, right? So we're having a cocktail and we're recording a conversation.
They want to feel like they were at the bar.
They want to live vicariously through us. You know, being in Southern California, we sometimes forget that we have an embarrassment of riches in regards to home bars.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got few people out here in LA who's got some really great home bars, like our friends Michael and Alan.
Yeah.
And Ron Farrell's got a really great one.
Yeah.
And then there are a few more for people that I don't really know that well, but I know that their bars are out there.
Right.
And then we've got a bunch out where I'm at and in the Inland Empire, and we've got some in Orange County. And,
yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Know, yeah, North County and all that too. So, and you know there's stuff out there that we don't know about too. People that aren't as
online.
In the public eye as we are. So.
Yeah, I think about that all the time, actually. Like, man, I bet there's some cool ones that we haven't even seen photos of. Yeah.
You know that there are. So, do you have that book
by Tiki Tom Tom, the Polynesiacs book?
I have not picked it up yet, but I have taken a look at it.
Because if you look at the map, there's a lot of dots in the Southern California.
Yeah, of course. Well, so. I feel like it's just, it's so a part of the Southern California culture.
The culture, you know? Yeah.
Or at least,
especially know, the tiki used culture. To be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's, I don't know, if to me, it's like, obviously, like, there's cool tiki stuff everywhere, and anyone from anywhere can enjoy tiki, but I feel like when in California, I feel really, like, connected, you know? Tiki and California are kind of the same.
Yeah, it's like milk and cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. So I always say that, like, you know, growing up, we've had all this tiki iconography around us. Mm-hmm. I mean, for decades, before we were even alive, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I use that example all the time. Milk and cookies, peanut butter and jelly.
Right.
What are some of the other pairings?
Mac and cheese.
Right. Oh, I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one. I like that one. So, yeah. So you have a great bar here, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk about your bar, the Echo Island Tiki.
Yes.
So the first time that I got to enjoy your bar was when you were in a different place.
Yeah.
And the room was equally as small, it feels like.
It was actually smaller, if you can believe it.
Was it smaller?
Yeah, you could, like, jump from, like, one corner to the other corner.
What are the dimensions of this room?
This one's, I think, 8 by 14 or 8 by 16.
8 by 16, okay.
Yeah, I think it's 8 by 16, yeah.
Okay, so...
So it's a little bit bigger, and the ceilings are a little higher. The ceilings were really low in the old one.
Got it, yeah.
I had to be really careful about lamps and stuff in the old room because it's like...
Right.
They can only kind of be in the corners and stuff.
And like, over seats or over tables.
Yeah, where
exactly.
People
aren't really... There's no walking path.
Yeah.
Man, this is really impressive.
Thank you very much.
And you built all this yourself?
Yeah, totally. It's... Yeah, we all say the labor of love, you know, to just make a crazy tiki room
now,
in your house.
Was it inspired by any specific bar that you visited?
Mm-hmm. No, not a specific one. I just think, like, tiki as, like,
just
a well-rounded whole, you know? But I've definitely, like, aped a bunch of stuff that I've seen at other tiki bars, you know?
Yeah, we all do, right?
Yeah.
I like your... 3D. It looks like a velvet. Is that velvet?
It's not velvet. It's actually just on wood, painted on wood.
So for the people that aren't watching the video, there is a shadow box, or
it actually used to be the closet.
The closet
with the doors popped off.
It looks like a shadow box the way that you've built it, with the shelf, and you've got foliage in there.
Mm-hmm.
Giant clamshell with I guess it's supposed to be a pearl that's got a light in it.
Yeah, glowing pearl of wisdom.
And then it's a glowing, the paint is like, I guess, like, you could just call it glow-in-the-dark paint.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's just blacklight paint.
It's a blacklight
paint.
A piece of
wood painted black.
But it looks like a black velvet. Who painted that?
Joseph Dunn, Jungle Riverboat, if you know him.
Oh,
He's out of TBT. He makes cool stickers and tote bags and stuff.
I didn't know that he did that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think he ever has before, but I asked him if he could and would, and some sage advice from Michael, who we were just talking about, because their bar has something similar, but it's a different scene. Theirs is like a volcano and stuff. Michael painted theirs.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I mean, as we all know.
Of course he did. He's not going to hire another artist.
Yeah.
He's an artist himself. Yeah,
exactly.
Super talented.
I aped that off them, and I got some advice from Michael about it, and like I talked about earlier, I copied stuff from other tiki bars, including from my friends' tiki bars.
We all do.
Yeah.
I mean, like my bar, the Desert Oasis Room, the way that I laid out all those Papua New Guinea mass, that was inspired by Trader Vic's.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Because I went into Trader Vic's and I saw the thing about Trader Vic's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a little OCD, so tiki's clutter, right?
Yeah.
Your room is not cluttered, though. Yours is very orderly.
Yeah.
And I hear that a lot about my room. Organized clutter. People will say, you know, this room is very, like, it's very rich with the whole tiki look and feel, but it's also still very organized, right? And I tell people it's because I have OCD. And the thing is, you know, when I was looking for inspiration, like how do I want to mm-hmm. build this room and this bar? What I want to model it after.
Sure.
It was when I went to Trader Vic's that I realized, oh, theirs is very museum-like.
Yeah, totally.
The restaurant feels like a steakhouse.
Yeah.
But it's still tiki, mm-hmm. but it's not cluttered.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's very museum-like the way they display yeah. their tikis and their masks.
I love the way you have your like masks laid out and then the color and style organization of all your thanks. Mugs on those like lowboy shelves is super cool.
That's the OCD kicking in.
Yeah, but it, I think it totally works, you know? And I think just in terms of like clumps like that, like you said, like you have the one section of your wall that's Papua New Guinea masks and then there's kind of like, I actually have something similar in here and it's like something that probably most people wouldn't notice, but it kind of helps with the flow of these rooms, like, and it not just feeling like a bunch of crap, you know, like just being intentional, like these three panels right here, I have, you know, like a nautical panel, a Hawaii panel, and then that last one is like the Disney kind of a theme park panel, you know, I have like postcards from like Parrot Jungle and Monkey World and all these like weird defunct theme parks and stuff on that last section.
And you did it too, Rule of Threes.
Yeah, exactly.
Three panels, yeah. Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it. The ceiling too is very rich in decor.
Oh,
and you've got all this big bamboo in here, which is... What a difference, like the shadow box in mm-hmm. the closet.
Yeah.
The giant bamboo.
That was something between the first version of Echo Island and this one that I had to have. I wanted big, fat, like 8-inch bamboo, you know, in some of the areas. So
man.
Yeah.
That's where'd you find that?
I got that from OA, like
right before they shut down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of trouble with this. I had a lot of trouble rebuilding the room and relocating it because it was like right on the cusp of that, so they were really low on a bunch of stuff and it was really hard and they were slow to get back to me. And thank you,
an awesome job. And every time, like any great tiki bar, every time I come in here I see something that I didn't see before. I'm seeing a lot right now that I didn't see before.
Even my best friends say that, you know, like who come here all the time.
Yeah, so
that's, you know, I take that as a compliment. I appreciate
it. It's so great, man. It looks so good. It looks so good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I love being here because, you know, the escapism.
Yeah.
The escapism of, we could be at a commercial bar, we could be at a home bar, and I enjoy it equally the same. But I think, like we talked about this earlier, I think I enjoy the home bar, hanging out in a home bar more than a commercial bar.
I totally do. Because everyone's with our collections. Yeah, you're with your friends.
And your everyone's collections are different.
Yeah, different styles, super like, you know, rich, like actual, like, you know, cool vintage stuff, like stuff that
creativity.
You can't have in commercial bars. Yeah.
Right.
I said this when I went to your house. Like, I love going to other people's home bars because I feel like I'm when I'm at your house, it's like I'm seeing in like Adrian Tiki vision. Like I'm like literally looking at your like perfect idea of like a tiki bar manifested, you know? And same thing when I go to Michael and Allen's or Ron's house or any of the really good.
Well, this one's pretty good, man. I mean, and good is not a strong enough word. This bar's pretty great. I'll say
thank you. So, I always say small but mighty. It's a super small room.
I love it, man. But you know, everything is done very well. All the things that you hung too, you can tell is very curated.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know? Like you're not just throwing up anything.
Yeah, I'm not like a huge like collector. I mean, obviously I like, you know, pick in and go into flea markets and stuff just like anybody, but I don't have like the drive for much. So I try to be really careful with my purchases, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't like spending money. So
I have to
get really creative with like cheap crap and be like, oh, I could touch this up with some paint and make it look cool.
I still keep seeing things that I didn't see the last time.
Actually, excuse me. I have to spindle your drink.
Yeah, do that. I love it. We got to do that.
Is that a...
You're going to have one with me, right? I'm not going to drink by myself.
Yeah, I'll have one with you.
I mean, you don't have to have the same one that I picked, but I'm just saying that...
Do you want a cool clear glass or do you want like a vintage cobalt pearl diver?
Dealer's choice. I have stories about those though.
I'll give you this cool one here. My friend Neil gave me these. Shout out Neil.
Yeah, Neil. Neil Hertzel?
Yes.
Our buddy?
Yeah, he's a great... speaking of hunting for tchotchkes, he's really... has a knack for it.
These pearl diver glasses, and again for our our listeners that are not watching on video, our friend Nick here just poured the cocktail that I ordered into a vintage cobalt blue pearl diver glass, and now he is garnishing it with a nice hefty sprig of fresh mint.
Yeah, it's a Saturn, and first of all, I love to put Saturns in the pearl diver glasses for some reason, because I don't like make a ton of pearl divers, so it's like I gotta use the glasses, they're so cool. But also I just put mint on every drink, because it's like
I'm not picky about the way it's garnished, although like it's not garnished the way you typically see a Saturn with the cherry and the and the orange ring.
It's just like, you know, when I get ready to have friends over, I'm gonna go buy some mint, and then it's like, well, I got to use all the mint, you know?
Right. A beautiful drink's a beautiful drink.
Yeah. Here, let's find a cool swizzle for you, too.
Ooh, we're putting a swizzle in this one.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the fun. Let's see. Oh, here's the Golden Tiki. I'm from Las Vegas, so we'll go we'll go Golden Tiki.
Golden Tiki. Love it.
All right.
All right, so I'll wait for you to make yours so that we can drink together.
Sure.
Thank you.
You know, gotta have the napkins.
Echo Island napkins. You know what? I do have. I do like. So, how much do these cost to have done? Are they expensive?
They're not super expensive, and like if you order them one time, or at least like just subscribe to the, you know, one of these companies that prints these, like you'll get it. You'll get promotional emails. You know, 25% off or whatever. So it's like if it was going to be $130, maybe it's only $100 for, you know. And like I've had these for probably a year and a half, and I haven't had to print new ones.
Okay.
So
I'm gonna have to get some.
Yeah, you should
get some made.
So. Actually, shout out to Michael Ulenkot one more time because he designed both of these napkins.
I was gonna ask you that next.
Yeah.
Michael is such a talented artist.
He's
man.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, both the coolest.
He designed the glasses for Tiki Tea a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah, those are awesome.
They're my favorite design that they've ever sold, that they've ever carried and sold.
Michael's
just so talented. It's got like a village or something, right? That
yeah, and then
around.
It has the building, right?
Yeah. Well, it looks like it's on the beach. Like it looks like a hut on the beach.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he did such a good job of those. So.
Yeah, I'm a fan of those too, and the colorways they've done are really cool too.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay, so while you're making that one, I'm gonna tell you a story about these pearl diver glasses.
Oh right, yeah, circling back.
So I was working in Orange County at one time in my life, and during my lunch break I would go thrifting and antiquing and hit antique malls and Goodwills and Salvation Armies and stuff like that.
As we all do on our lunch breaks.
As we all do, right? And on one occasion, I went into a Goodwill, and I saw there was probably a good, somewhere between 9 and 12 of these pearl diver glasses.
No way.
And they were that kind of turquoise green, like, you know, kind of like the green of this bottle, but a little bit lighter, you know? And stupid me. So here's the thing. There was this thread on Tiki Central I had just read, like the week before, where people were saying, what's the difference between the vintage ones and these new reproductions? Because there was a new reproduction that had just been released.
Yeah.
And
like
people were talking about
somebody,
right. They were talking about the height of the glass and then the number of ribs or nodes on here. Right.
Yeah.
So I go over there to the shelf and I start counting these nodes. Uh-huh. And I think like, I think this is a replica because there's too many nodes. Like I know that they were taller than this glass that you just served this in. And I could see the difference with your replica one.
Yeah, here
it's just a tad taller.
Yeah,
right?
It is actually.
And I think it's because of that extra node.
Interesting.
So anyway,
I never even knew that. I just feel like you can kind of just tell, you know. Especially if you look at the bottom of these, you can tell if they're like the old school like hand blown style because they have like the fat bottoms, you know.
Right.
Same thing, kind of the same way you look for the vintage glass floats. Fish floats,
And those will have kanji symbols, sometimes the vintage ones.
Yeah, those are cool.
So I left them, and then I thought, maybe I should get them, but they were something like, they were expensive. I think they wanted $5 a piece for them.
Yeah, so it kind of adds up.
Yeah, and there was like 12
Goodwill,
of them. And you can't leave one or two, you got to take them all with you, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to take a picture of our drinks together.
Oh, sure.
So I made a comment to someone. I think it was Ron Farrell. I called him and I said, hey, what are your thoughts about this? Because he was using glasses in his bar.
Yeah.
And the Pearl Diver glasses. Uh-huh. And he said, what's the question? And I said, like, is it authentic, you know? Uh-huh. And he's like, well, whether it is or isn't, get them because they still make a nice drink.
Yeah.
You know, like still whatever cool. you put them, they still look cool,
right.
you know? And I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Uh-huh.
So I went back and they were gone.
Oh, I knew that's where this was.
And I thought, and that was one of the biggest regrets is me leaving that, right?
Yeah.
And I still kicked myself to this day. And I only recently got replica ones
mm-hmm.
this past Christmas season because...
And they're way more expensive than $5 a pop.
Right.
Yeah.
So a friend gave me... They come in pairs
uh-huh.
in the box.
Yeah.
And they got me two pairs as a Christmas gift.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I have them at home.
Yeah, so you have a good set for around
So now
drinks.
I have like four of them for drinks.
That's cool.
And I thought to myself, like, you know, I could have had these a long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm such an idiot.
They're amazing, you know.
But there's a lot of stuff like that we leave behind thinking, you're kind of on the fence and you leave it and then you say, like, you know, I should have went and got that. And you go mm-hmm. back and it's gone. And so now, like, I have this kind of attitude of you just can't leave anything.
Yeah.
If you don't know, just go get it.
For sure.
But then I also have a lot of junk now because of that attitude.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. So that's how, I mean, going back to our friend Neil, like that's how he is. He just picks up everything.
Just get it.
And like, and you know, after he already has it in his hands, he does a little research and tries to find out about it.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
He's like, oh, and then usually, I mean, he's just such a cool friend that, like I said, like he just gave me these. Like
yeah.
He was like, wow, yeah. It was a birthday gift. But
I love
still,
it.
It's like,
I love it.
And these ones, we only have three, so it probably would have been a set of like four or six with a pitcher that matches too. And the pitchers were ribbed as well, which is cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I saw pitchers too, but
mm-hmm.
I want to say that there were other like matching stuff.
They were like always in matching sets. And I've seen like green ones and stuff, but I've never seen these dark blue ones.
So,
these
all right.
cobalt
Let's
ones.
Let's do cheers.
Cool. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Cheers. Thank you for the cocktail.
Thank you. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
I have cinnamon all over the bar here from lighting drinks on fire.
This is delicious.
Oh, thanks.
So let me ask you, what is your approach to your cocktails?
My approach is not super exciting. I'm a pretty devoted spec follower, you know, but... You know, there's different specs, different ratios for all kinds of different drinks. And so, you know, it just takes kind of trial and error to find out which one works best for you or best for the, you know, the types of rums you have or what your limes taste like or whatever. And
so when I first started trying to make my own cocktails at home, I was just deconstructing existing cocktails
mm-hmm.
until I learned later that there were certain formulas that you could follow.
Right.
Right. Like the Planter's Punch
mm-hmm.
formula, one of... Sour, two of sweet, three of strong, four of weak.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a daiquiri formula.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's they call it the golden ratio.
Yeah.
So I started following those, and it actually helped me out a lot because when I go to a party and someone just sets out mixers and spirits, I can make a decent cocktail.
Sure.
And it's actually fun to kind of play around and figure something out.
Yeah. I always do that at the end of the party once people have had a few.
God. So how did you start?
The taste doesn't matter right. quite as much.
How did you start? Were you doing the same thing? Were you like, when the taste is like when people are out looking for a drink and you're, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, here's another batch of slop for everybody.
Right, right. Right.
I started out about the same, you know, the cocktails came second to being sort of enchanted by the look of things, you know?
Okay.
After I had been to probably Frankie's Tiki Rooms, probably the first tiki bar I went to, followed by the old Donna Beachcomber and Seal Beach and
right.
a couple places like that around right. Orange County right. and stuff. And so, like I said, the look and the vibe captured me first, and then that's when I started kind of hunting in the thrift stores, and then the drinks came along with it. Like, oh, I want to try to make a drink like the one I had.
Right.
So it just, you know, Grog Log was the first thing. Bought the Grog Log. And I think the Total Tiki app had like just come out. So just kind of diving in on those and finding out which ones were actually good and which ones were just like a product of the times, yeah. You know, like, because some of the specs are like crazy, or like, I always make the joke, like, whatever that one drink is that's just like three vermouths, it's like, oh, people,
yeah,
that's like a quote unquote tropical drink.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Oh, people used to just drink this and eat liver and onions in the 50s or whatever.
I know, I like think about that because
up taste, yeah,
they just didn't have this is the thing, they did what they could with what they had,
mm-hmm.
And I always wonder. If Don or Vic had what we have today,
yeah.
What kind of drinks would they have come up with?
Right.
Because yeah. They came up with some really good stuff.
Totally.
With what they had.
Right. Yeah.
Now,
early craft or, you know, craft adjacent.
Oh, yeah. Type stuff, yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Now, when you make cocktails, you have a favorite for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or, and let me ask you this. What do you like to make the most versus what do you like to serve the most? Does that make sense? Like, what's your favorite drink to make,
mm-hmm.
and what's your favorite drink to enjoy?
My favorite drink to make is a Miller High Life.
Okay, so that's a fair answer.
Right up. No, I'm just kidding. I know what you mean. Like,
ask this of bartenders, because
yeah.
Sometimes it's just like that. They'll say, "Oh, Cuba Libre is my favorite drink to serve."
Right.
But my favorite drink to enjoy is. You know, whiskey sours,
yeah.
Or a rum old fashioned or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Or something that's muddled or something that's, you know, that just takes more time.
Totally.
But that's not their favorite drink to serve because it's a pain in the ass when they're in a busy bar.
Yeah, at work is kind of different. Here at home, I don't mind any level of effort. Like, nothing is too much, you know, for my friends and my guests here. Oh, like,
dude, that's awesome.
So I, you know, it's like, whatever. I want people to feel like this is like a really special place. With good drinks and a good vibe, you know?
It totally is.
You know, any of the drinks on my menu, and I really like serving a drink that's like kind of a funky color and surprising people, you know? Like a weird blue drink or something with Midori in it that's like neon green, you know? And working on that stuff and just making it taste like legit and then kind of surprising someone, you know? People love to drink weird colors. Like, it reminds us of like the 80s and 90s.
Well, when you're out, that's escapism too, right? You're getting away from your everyday world, and you're having someone else cook your food, and you have someone else make your drinks,
yeah.
And you're sitting in a place that's different than what you see every day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some bartenders lean towards that, right? Where they say, I like to make something to wow people.
Yeah.
I like to make something that when I serve it, they're blown away.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's via presentation or flavor profiles, or maybe it's something that brings back a memory for them that is nostalgic.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like doing large format drinks too in the large ceramic bowls with the long straws and stuff. That just is like, you know. It's just a total party starter, party keg, you know?
And we talked about
the
traditionals.
Yeah.
Traditional cocktails,
mm-hmm.
that you like to lean towards those as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm like I'm kind of a, not like a purist in any way. Like, I always like, you know, like I like what people do with you know, their own style, bring their own flavor to it. But like, I just love classic drinks, you know? And I think like, we were talking about this earlier, like I think every bar menu could get away with just like having like a list of classic drinks, you know, including tiki bars, you know.
Yeah.
There's classics for a reason, and there's so many classic drinks, it's like, how could you have possibly tasted every one, you know?
Dude, the classics are so timeless. When you think back at when some of these drinks were invented,
mm-hmm.
it was 250 years ago.
Yeah, some of them, yeah, sure.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Am I miscalculating that? Like in the 1800s, right?
Yeah, there's stuff from the 1800s or even like 100 years ago, you know, Prohibition era drinks. You know,
1800s, 1700s, like that Planter's Punch comes from the Caribbean, and I think like late 1700s, right?
I always wonder about this, and maybe I'm just like super dumb, but like, I mean, they didn't have like ice cubes, right? Are they just drinking this stuff warm? Or did they just add water?
That's a great question.
This is when I'm like, actually, I'm super dumb.
I've
like
never
no idea.
Thought
yeah.
of that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like, so, there's no way, right?
Yeah. Well, so people are going to correct me on this. And
yeah, sorry, everyone.
No, no, no. It's okay. I get that all the time. But
sorry, everyone who's smarter than me.
Right. So let's... No, what I was going to say was the planner's punch. One of sour, two of...
Sweet.
Sweet. Three of strong, four of weak.
Uh-huh.
How old is that? I don't know. Documented.
That's old, but that's like... That's like 1800s. Sure.
1700s is 250 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Late 1700s. Late 1800s is 150 years ago. This is all pre-prohibition, and it survived prohibition. Mm-hmm. So we go into prohibition for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
We come out, and 100 years later, we're still serving, or almost 100 years later, we're still serving these classics.
Uh-huh.
That says something about the I don't know, what is it, the flavor or the, you know, there's a legacy.
Yeah, just right? How evergreen some of this stuff is.
Because if it wasn't a good drink, it wouldn't have lasted that long.
Sure.
People would have stopped drinking it, right?
Yeah.
Like, who's drinking Harvey Wallbangers today? You know what I mean?
But that's kind of what I'm talking about earlier. Like I feel like you could probably make a really good Harvey Wallbanger, you know? Also, I see Harvey Wallbanger, like, merch, you know? Same thing with, like, Swamp Water and stuff. And
I'm but
man, that shit is cool.
Who's drinking? Are people drinking them still today?
No, I don't think so. I mean, unless someone cool, like, puts it on a menu.
I was going to say, I think it's like the hipsters that are trying to be cool that, oh, yeah, this is what my grandfather drank or whatever.
But then you have, like, the Garrett Richards of the world who are like, actually, I figured out how to make it awesome, you know?
And right.
So that's kind of flipping my point from earlier on its head, too. I totally respect that, too, like, kind of tweaking and mastering, like, weird old drinks to make them really, really good.
And shout out to Gary Richard, man. I really believe he's the future of craft cocktails.
I've learned so much from just hanging out with him, chatting with him online, and reading his book. Really cool.
That dude he says things that are revolutionary sometimes, but then also nonsensical, where you hear it and you think, like, of course.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, what, like... Like, he says this thing, like with the saline, right?
Yeah.
When I asked him about the saline, you know, like, well, what's the deal with the saline? Why did you come up with this? Or what's the theory behind it?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, well, you know, people, they season their food. If you had a steak without seasoning, it'd taste very bland.
Yeah.
And same thing with burger and fries, or same thing with, you know, a seafood dish. Like, everything that you eat tastes better when you season it, because it brings out the flavor, enhances that flavor.
Sure.
Why couldn't you do that with cocktails?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that makes sense.
Salt your drinks, yeah.
Right.
But I've been at a thing lately, like, well, not lately, like, for years now. Like, you know, Neil and I talk about this all the time, too. Like pretty much any syrup you make could benefit, too, from just, like, a pinch of salt, you know, while you're making it. So, especially, like, passion fruit syrup and coconut syrup and all that stuff. Well, I think even the Smuggler's Cove book says to salt your coconut syrup. So,
yeah.
Goes a long way.
Yeah. So, when you were at my house bartending, you asked for an eyedropper because of the absinthe.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, do you have an extra eyedropper? And I was like, oh, well.
You actually did have one.
I did?
Yeah.
An empty one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I pointed to you at the saline, and I said, you could use that one.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's that? And I said, that's saline. And you're like, oh, Garrett was here. Yeah, Garrett was absolutely here. Yeah.
He probably brought his own dropper. Right?
He did. He brought his own dropper with his, he made the solution and everything for
Here's
me.
Here's mine right
and
here.
And there's yours.
I don't do it in every drink, but if I think to do it, I'll definitely add a couple drops. Yeah. Yeah, but I have a lot of stuff in droppers here, including this ube extract for, like, you know, taro coladas.
I have ube extract as well.
And then I keep absinthe in a sprayer here, too.
The thing is, I need to label all mine like that. Because I know which is which, but if you jump behind the bar, you don't know, because there's no labels on them.
Yeah, that became
But I know
big,
which is which.
That became a big project, was labeling a lot of this stuff, especially, like, my syrup bottles and stuff, because, like... Like, you know, after one or two rounds, you know, like, I have friends who are bartenders and stuff. Like, people want to get back here and make drinks. And I'm like, yeah, please, you know.
Yeah.
Make me one for once.
But
they got to know what everything is, totally. And, I also, whenever I do this, I make my wife write, because I have...
Oh, yeah, because her writing...
I have serial killer handwriting.
Look at her writing. It looks like the kind of stuff you see at a fancy place that makes their own soaps or something.
Right, or like a bar that where they wear like the white coats with right. the like armbands or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You make your own syrups here as well, or are you?
Yeah, I do a lot of the stuff myself. It's okay. kind of just cheaper, you know. Like if you get the frozen passion fruit pulp or just some coconut milk in the can and whip up your own stuff. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But the downside of that is that if you're not using it a lot, it goes bad. Like, I had a lot of stuff turn on. I haven't. You're the first person I've had over here in months, probably. It's
what since like Christmas, right?
Yeah, we had a holiday party, but that's kind of different because I just like set out a big punch bowl, you know, and kind of let people have at it. I'm not actually like working my Christmas party. Right. But yeah, in terms of just like sitting here and like making drinks a la minute, I haven't done it in months.
Well, this is special being in here because, you know, I've been reflective about the time that we've been spending together,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of happened. And I'm super stoked that like we're hanging out more than we ever did before.
Totally,
you know.
Yeah,
and I love it. I love that I can get a drink from you either here or over there.
Yeah,
or you come to my place and you make drinks at my place, and then we have our other friends like Brad. You know, I'll see him at events and stuff, but. Only recently have we been hanging out more.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
It's been really great.
Well, yeah, you're a great friend, and I've
likewise.
It's been fun hanging out more for sure. And, you know, I'm not like totally, what's the word? I'm not super like out there, like in the tiki. Like I don't go to a lot of the events and stuff.
Sure.
So like when I actually like connect with someone and make friends in this kind of little niche thing, that's not so niche anymore. There's like every time I do go to an event, it's like, holy cow. Like, it's kind of amazing how many people love this stuff. And I haven't even been into it super long. I still consider myself kind of a newbie to it. And I've been,
oh, really?
I've been doing it for like, I don't know, eight years now or something.
Well, we met at Tiki Tea. I think that's where we met, right?
Yeah.
Because you were a regular there and I was a regular there.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't necessarily seeing each other on the same nights, but we crossed over enough to where, you know, it was just one of these where
you just start chatting,
just start saying hi, you know, and then now we're friends. And then I remember the first time I got to see the last iteration of Echo Island Tiki Bar.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a treat for me because, you know, you have to be invited to these things.
Right.
You know, these aren't like things you can just walk up and walk through the door when the hours are open. Like, these are private homes.
Totally.
So getting to see it from that insider's perspective that you were invited to go see this place and and I walked in and like, wow, they have their own menus and the napkins and and what size is this room and how did you do this and how did you do that and then seeing what you did here after moving out of there, what blew me away the most of that place was the after picture when you took it all down when you moved.
Oh, yeah. You know, I took that down off my Instagram, but maybe I'll put it back up because it's, I had it in like four, like a carousel, like four or five photos, a tiki bar in reverse, you know. You always see people do progress pics, but never like,
I saw that and I thought, wow, it's like nothing was ever there.
Yeah.
It looked perfect.
The de-evolution. Yeah. That was kind of, that was by design. You know, I learned, I always knew I was going to move out of that place, obviously.
Right.
And I had been collecting a couple tiki things here and there. It started with the mugs, but I moved past the mugs pretty quick. And because I was like, well, one day I'm going to want to have like a whole room, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it can't just be a bunch of mugs. You need a bunch of other crap. And so I moved off the mugs pretty quick, but I just had like a couple Rubbermaid bins of like weird shit in my attic that I had been saving up. And then it was like a perfect storm. Like our old roommate was moving out of that place and out of that room, that tiny little room, her hobbit hole. And and then I saw on Facebook one of your Tiki Oasis parties where you guys had made stuff out of styrofoam.
We made the false walls.
Yeah, and you made those walls that were like actually like you just propped it up on the wall.
Yeah,
and I was like, well, there's a way you could do that that's at least a little more semi-permanent, you know, with just a couple 2x4s and some plywood. So that's basically all four walls of this room are basically, it's almost like giant picture frames drilled into the wall. Like I could just pop off like each section. It's like this one's three sections, you know, and you can just kind of pop it right off, you know. And all the stuff is air nailed into the into the wall, so it doesn't go anywhere, you know.
Yeah.
That's also like an earthquake preventative thing because we have earthquakes here, and so stuff doesn't fly off the wall. So yeah, basically, like if I just popped off those bamboos, you just screw the things out, and then it's
it's still kind of
a lot of holes in the wall, you know.
Yeah, but then it's plaster and paint, right?
Like, yeah, totally. That's like that's the easy part, right?
Yeah.
So, but instead of, you know, because that La Hala matting, you got to staple that up, and that's.
Probably half a million staple holes. The way that I did mine was I took fiberboard and then I used construction adhesive that you put like in
like a
caulking gun.
Yeah, totally.
And then I laid it on that and then I screwed that to the wall. So there's what a screw in each corner, so there's only four screws. And I can take those screws out, the whole panel comes down.
Yeah.
And then again, plaster and paint.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just so used to moving that I try not to keep things, let things get too permanent, but where I live now, I've lived there for 14 years. It's the longest place I've ever lived in since I moved out of my parents' house.
Right.
Because when I moved out of my parents' house, you know, you sign a lease for a year, and then either you renew it or you move. And
especially here in Southern California, I feel like you got to move every year.
And I did that. I did that like every year or every 2 years from the time I moved out to my parents' house to the house that I live in now. Like, I always moved.
Yeah.
And I never let anything get too permanent.
Yeah.
But now that I live where I live, like, you know, it's as permanent as can be.
Totally.
But when I built it, I still had that in mind that I could reverse everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I said, that was by design. That the what's the word? Semi-permanent. I guess I said it already, but yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess all this to say, like, don't let the size of the room or like whether, you know,
100%.
You don't think you have space for it or can't do it because, you know, you haven't totally what's the word, rooted into like a specific place or whatever. Like, there, you know, there's little things you can do to kind of create these spaces for your own, you know, your own little oasis. And
you're an engineer, man, making this room like in the size that this room is and what you were able to do. You even have like shelves behind you.
Thank you. Yeah, these were old 90. This is funny. I picked these up off Craigslist from this like scary storage unit near Skid Row. And this guy had clearly had these in his storage unit since the 90s. And he was like, oh yeah, back in the 90s, like we had these unfinished pine furniture stores everywhere. And you don't really see it anymore. And he was like really into the fact that it was like unfinished pine. But that's why I bought them, because I was like, oh, I won't have to sand or anything.
I remember
like,
those stores.
I can just like stain that up and carve into it. And like, I just didn't tell him like, oh dude, you don't even know. I'm going to torch these, stain it, spray, top of cloth lights, cook. Router, like I'm messing these things up.
Dude, I'm still seeing things I haven't seen before.
You know, I used to have a fish in here. Rest in peace.
Oh, fishy. Did you really?
Yeah,
that's an aquarium.
Yeah. Well, it's just a diver's helmet, but I put it over the fish
bowl.
Okay. Yeah, and it fit nicely.
Oh.
Yeah, was and I could lit? Feed him through was the it? Top. Yeah, it was lit up blue and stuff. But
okay,
he lived old for a beta fish. He was like 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, he's a beta. Okay. Yeah. They live pretty long, don't they?
Yeah, well, my mom kept one that they like won at like a street fair for like 7 years or something, you know. Like, you know, whenever you get those goldfish at the fair, they die like right away. My mom kept one alive for like 7 or 8 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And like not even like a like legit, like literally like the bowl that it came in just like changed the water and just like, yeah.
My wife had one on her desk for I don't know how many years, and that poor fish, man, I'd visit her and I'd say, your poor fish needs new water. You need to change the water.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to that fish, but she had it for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And she babied it in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then they get lazy, you know?
Like, sure.
It's like, hey, look, you know, this is a living creature. Take care of it.
Yeah.
Don't let it suffer.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Huh. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah, I feel like people would be like, oh, you have a fish in here? That's really weird. And I would be like, well, I would move him out into the kitchen. So I'd only bring him in here and put the diving helmet on.
Just for like a party, right?
Yeah, yeah, like for people came over or whatever. It'd be like, hey, he doesn't live in the dark six nights of the week or whatever. While you're looking around, I can point out some of the things I'm more proud of in here.
Okay. Well, so there's a few things I want to comment on.
Sure, go ahead.
So is that an Oceanic Arts catalog?
Yeah.
So you have an Oceanic Arts catalog there. I didn't notice that before.
Yeah, and I'm crazy because, like, I obviously, like, no one ever thought that that would be, like, a collectible. Like, those right. just used to be on the counter there.
Right.
And so I glued it to my wall and sprayed it. I can get it off, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, but the other funny thing is that I sprayed it with paint, you know? Like, everything I put up in here, I touch it up with a little bit of, like, tinted lacquer and stuff. So
okay.
Try to give everything kind of like an aged vintage look, you know,
yeah,
even if
yeah,
it wasn't.
I get
so,
it.
It's funny that I've like painted it because now like you can like those things go like, you know, 30, 40
yeah.
bucks on
yeah.
Not that I would ever sell it, but it's just funny. Like,
well, it looks perfect.
Thank you. Appreciate it. This is from Oceanic Arts too. This is a Leroy canister.
Oh, nice.
I know. Okay. I have tons of Oceanic Arts in here actually.
Okay. So a couple questions for you.
Sure.
This Hamilton Beach mixer.
Oh, yeah.
What's the story of that?
So
I've never seen one like that.
Yeah, this is just like a straight up blender. It's called, Bar mixer, yeah. But it's not like the top down spindle mixer.
Right.
Like it's just straight up like a blender.
Right, like a blender.
I went through like a total blended drink phase.
Okay.
And I was loving making blended drinks in here. Back to our thing about like making what's kind of considered lowbrow, you know, like kind of fancy and craft.
Yeah.
I went to the Manolito in New Orleans.
Yeah, Manolito.
And it was
yeah.
like my third visit there or something.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just got to chatting with the guy and he was like, dude, I have my grandma's Hamilton Beach mixer from Kaz. Shout out Kaz. I don't think he works there anymore. But he was like, but you can just buy them on eBay, like $50. And so I just did like a quick search and I just right there, I just had it like
sent
straight to my house, you know, and it just, I had to find, like, I wanted to be making blended drinks in here without going to the kitchen and using
right,
my blender, but
right.
if I'm going to keep a blender in here, it has to match the look. So I,
does
that's
that
why
work?
Yeah, totally. I was going to ask you when we do our drink video, maybe we do a blended drink in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to do that. Like, it just, it's like such a relic, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. It'll be cool to show it off.
Okay, so a few other questions.
Mm-hmm.
Who did that? Tangaroa.
This tiki right here?
No, the one in the frame.
Oh, shout out. Jungle Riverboat again. Joseph Dunn.
Jungle
yeah,
Riverboat
he used
again.
To he used to vend more often than he does now
okay.
at some of the events. And he like at the Elks Lodge thing back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to just draw tikis on cardboard and then cut them out and sell them for like $3 or something stupid.
Oh,
you know?
So that's what
like,
that is.
Yeah, and he was just like,
that's cool.
Like, no, why not 10 or even 15? You know what I mean? Like, literally, it would be like pennies. And I just glued it to some black paper on the back
yeah.
and framed it in a gold frame, and it kind of like it stands out.
And he
it's
would
kind
do
of
those
a,
on the spot or something.
No, he would just like show up with them, or yeah, he would like maybe do it while he
right.
was sitting there at the
right.
event or whatever. And I just thought that one was really cool.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's like, and that's another thing like we were talking about earlier, just like kind of showing off how cool your friends are, you know?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay,
yeah.
You have...
He's drawn a few things in here, too. That Tiki T, like, Contiki
that
logo.
That one right there, yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, he,
yeah.
Yeah, we're... he's a good buddy of mine, man. He designed my matchbooks and...
Okay.
And, yeah, he's done a lot.
I know him. I mean, I don't know him super well, but I say hello when I see him at... You know, he'll walk into Tiki T every once in a while.
Yeah, he's really cool and,
yeah.
and a talented artist. Yeah.
Okay, you have...
Mm-hmm.
A plantation bottle that's been cut down.
Oh, yeah. This is a gift from my friend Nick. It's just a candle.
That's cool. That's
yeah.
creative.
Uh-huh.
Because now it makes me think, oh, I should hang on to my bottles.
Yeah, I do, too. I have the glass cutter, and once in a while I'll do it. Like, I made that thing, you know, and that's
oh,
like...
yeah.
Like, we were talking about copying people, you know. Like, I've seen that at a million bars, but...
You know, if you
yeah.
go to the Hawaiian Room in, I think it's Downey...
Yeah.
They have a whole wall of them.
Oh, that's cool, yeah.
It's all vintage.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, next to this plantation bottle is like some 70s Bacardi.
Okay.
I have like some 70s, I have some 70s Jim Beam down here that we actually drank at the Christmas party.
Love it.
Wait, hold on. I was going to point something else out to you. I don't even remember.
Well, there's a few things here. So
sure.
Tell me about the karate bucket.
So this is a shameful story. So early in my journey, before I kind of learned about the bad mana of stealing tiki mugs.
Oh.
When I was about 21, I stole this from the Good Luck Bar.
Oh, I've stole stuff from there.
Yeah, but now I don't. I mean, they closed and they were going to close whether I stole this mug or not, unfortunately. Yeah. But now I'm glad to have it because remember, they used to have the drink called Karate Punch.
Right.
And they clearly just like filed this down and wrote Karate Punch on it.
Right.
And it has the two guys doing karate on the bucket
mug.
That's
great. So, that's a cool one.
Now I'm glad that I stole it because they obviously closed without warning. And
well, there was a rumor that they were closing at one point, like a good year before they ended
it
up closing.
It actually happened, yeah.
And a bunch of us were at Tiki T and we were like, oh, they're going to close.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down there and have one drink and try to enjoy it while it's still around. We left Tiki T. We all walked over there. There maybe like six of us.
Yeah.
Had a drink or two and then walked back to Tiki T.
Yeah.
And one of our buddies...
It was always a good way to break up like a Tiki T night, you know? Like if you're going to walk to the Dresden or something.
That or El Chavo, which is next door. Yeah. Like that's gone now.
Yeah.
And one of our buddies was missing from our group. We got back to Tiki T and we're like, where the hell is he? And about 10 minutes later, he's walking down the street and he's got his trench coat on.
Uh-huh.
And it's closed. And he's walking funny, right? He's walking kind of weird.
Yeah.
And when he gets to the door, he opens his trench coat.
Yeah.
And he's got one of every mug in there.
Oh, my God.
Because they had coconut mugs.
Yeah.
And bamboo mugs. And the buckets.
They had those kind of racist ones.
Yeah, but they had some cool, the matchbooks. I know you got matchbooks, right?
Yeah, of course.
They had the cool matchbooks.
Yeah, I know. I don't have any of those anymore because I used them all in my bathroom.
Oh, so I have some somewhere.
Yeah.
And then the square menu, tabletop menues that they had. I took one of those,
too. Were cool, man. Yeah. It was a really cool look in there. I wish it was able to stick around, you know? Well, not that the drinks were that special or anything. And by the way, PSA, everybody, if a place has the balls to do like a ceramic mug, please don't steal it. Like
Yeah.
This is a lesson learned. Like I said, I have guilt about it. So
yeah. So really, a place will only have the character it has as long as everything's intact.
Yeah, totally.
So if you start stripping stuff away, then that's not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, this happened because the rumor was they were closing. The rumor was a pretty strong rumor.
Well, yeah, and they did.
And I didn't take it. He took all that stuff. But I did after we knew that it was going down.
Yeah,
we took. Just little things like the paper ephemera, you know?
Totally. Well, and someone stole the sign, right?
I was going to say, but the sign was stolen.
That's crazy.
And they made themselves look legit, like it was being donated to a neon museum or something.
Oh, yeah, I saw they had, like, didn't they do, like, hard hats and stuff?
Yeah, they did the whole thing.
Cherry picker, like regular business. Looks like we're just a crew.
Yeah, it looks we're bringing the sign down because we're going to, you know, put it in a museum or something.
It's pretty funny to, like, Ocean's 11, the Good Luck Bar sign, like, with, like, costumes and stuff.
I'm curious where, you know, I just
You know this... someone's just, like, just has, like, a pimp house, like,
someone's
where
someone's got it hanging in their garage or something. I know,
yeah.
You know, maybe one of these days we'll bump into it. We'll see it.
We'll be like, you motherfucker. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, PSA, don't steal stuff.
Yeah, including the signs including off of the sides of buildings.
Including the signs. Yeah.
Two more quick things you might think are cool. This lamp and this lamp are from Kelbo's.
I was going to ask you about that. What about this float right here?
So that one's really funny. I bought that off of a guy at one of the events, and he gave me a discount on it because he sanded it, but he like over sanded it. There's actually a pufferfish in there, but you can't see it because he over frosted it. Okay. And then the really funny thing is if you look at it from this angle, you can see the googly eye fell off the...
I see it.
It's just sitting there on the
That's
bottom.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I always think about like trying to fix it, but I'm like, whatever. It's funny to point it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one. This lamp down here supposedly belonged to Poison Ivy from the Cramps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a friend whose uncle directed their Ultra Twist video, which is actually really rounds out the Tiki conversation because Sven was the DP on a few of their videos.
That's right.
If I'm correct. So, yeah, there's
He was the DP on Madonna's Borderline video, too.
That's really funny, yeah. But anyway, so, yeah, just another, like, cool roundabout Tiki thing. Like, this Tiki lamp, he gave it to my buddy because he heard I was a Cramps fan and had this Tiki bar. So he was like, oh, give this to your friend with that cool Tiki bar.
Wow. Yeah. And then I can't believe you're able to wedge these Witco's chairs in here.
Yeah, that's a struggle because they're pretty large. I bought those before I ever had space for them. I was working at Nickelodeon, just bored out of my mind, and scrolling Craigslist every single day, and those popped up for
an amazing price that even back then I couldn't afford it really, but I had to, like we said, sometimes you just can't leave stuff behind. I had to do it. Yeah.
You can, you gotta do it.
So, and the guy had reupholstered them himself, so they have brand new upholstery on them. Yeah.
Well, they look great.
Thank you. The leopard print Elvis style.
Matches very well.
Witco thrones, yeah. Yeah,
matches very well.
Yeah. And that kind of leans into like another style of tiki I love. I actually, that I call leopard print tiki, or sometimes I call it speedy tiki, you know, our friend Speedy.
Right,
you
Speedy,
know?
Yeah.
So, but you know, I feel like it fits in the room okay. You know?
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Everything looks great, man. What a treat it is for me to be here. I was so excited to come here. And actually the last time I was here, I don't know if it was before the Christmas party or after the Christmas party when you did the pizzas.
Oh yeah, no, that was before. That was like in September or something.
Oh, was that long ago?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel that long ago.
Maybe it was like October.
Okay.
But yeah, around then, roughly. But yeah, we made some pizza and had some drinks in here with Brad
and some cocktails. Yeah.
Alan and Michael.
Yeah.
Good old boys hang.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, man. Such a treat. So, and I was honored to be invited because I even thought like, only now have we really been starting to hang out.
Uh-huh.
But I even wondered like, so why is he inviting me?
What?
Because, you know, like, we weren't really hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I was honored to be invited. So I thought, like, yeah, I'm going to come, you know, because I love coming here.
Yeah.
And then it was Alan and Michael. And I didn't know that Brad was coming.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, like, oh, like, it's just us. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that made me even more, like, so why did he invite me?
Hey, it's a meeting of the minds.
It was great,
Tiki
man.
Think Tank. I don't know what we talked about.
And the
about.
Pizzas were awesome.
Oh, thanks.
And the cocktails were awesome. And then Brad showed up, and that was fun. So
yeah,
it's a good group, man. And I'm blessed to be a part of it. And I appreciate everything. I appreciate you being on the podcast and making me cocktails.
It's an honor. I've never been on a podcast.
Always taking care of me. And actually, this is your second time.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
because
technically
I just edited the other one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I hope we didn't repeat any of the same
we did not.
Nonsense.
So the one that we did before is actually, I released it on my Patreon today.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually already out there.
Oh, okay.
But it's just on the Patreon at the moment.
Yeah.
The rest of the folks will get it in 24 hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. And you know, like I said, feel blessed that I'm all part of this. So thank you.
Thank you. You're always welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. You're doing the Lord's work, Nick.
Oh, shucks. Yeah.
Well, do you want to throw anything out for social media, or do you want to promote anything? Is there anything you want to tell our audience?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Echo Island Tiki. It's just pictures of the bar, really.
Okay.
And then I am a bartender here in Los Angeles, so if you go ahead and follow my Instagram, you can, you know, find out where to come get a drink from me.
An excellent drink, and the food's great there too.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
honestly, we can shout it out. It's Sticky Rice and Echo Park.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I just don't know.
You can
know
find me there. If you made it this far, you know.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It's a great place. My son and his girlfriend were with us last weekend. You took care of us there, and they just kept looking at me and saying like, "We love this place.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're gonna come back. We can't wait to come back."
Yeah.
Which is great because they just live down the street.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'll just say, come say what's up. You know, weeknights are always good for me to make kind of like an off-menu drink or whatever. Right. Come sit down, have some dinner. I'll just give the caveat that Friday and Saturday night are...
slammed.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
This month's been slow. I think people got screwed on their taxes, but...
Oh, well.
But yeah, usually Friday and Saturday after 9 p.m. is pretty wild. Yeah. So if you want a more chill experience, come earlier.
Awesome spot.
Yeah.
And if you go when Nick is working, he'll make you some of the best cocktails in town.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, seriously. So anyway, thanks again. Echo Island, at Echo Island Tiki on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys want to follow our adventures, we are at Polynesian Pop on Instagram. We also have a YouTube, which is youtube.com/Polynesian Pop. You can listen to our archive on our website, desertoasisroom.com. And if you'd like to help support the show, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/PolynesianPop. And on our Patreon, we post a lot of exclusive content that you don't get anywhere else. And you'll also get front-of-the-line privileges for merch and other things. We do private parties for our patrons. And you'll get early access, early bird access to all the content, the podcasts, the videos, and everything. All right. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of Inside the Desert Race Room. Thank you again, Nick.
Yep. Bye.
Excellent cocktails, and we'll catch you on the next one. Cheers and aloha.